Hey, how's it going?
Hi, going all right?
I'm gonna be echoey today, and there's like drilling above me, so I'm gonna mute a lot, I think.
Hey, that's my favorite way. I like
Yeah,
it when
for
you're
real.
muted.
Totally.
I would like to report that I went to the bank and deposited my checks.
What? Did you? I didn't know you knew how to do that. You know, you can just take a picture of them with the app in the iPhone, right?
I don't have the app on my iPhone. And I needed to get money, so.
Ah, well, I didn't know you knew how to do that either. I thought getting money involved going to my wallet.
Well, you weren't there, so I had to use other means, desperate times.
Well, good for you.
And I was at the bank getting money, and I realized, oh, I have two
Two
checks.
paychecks. First world problem. My wallet's stuffed up with all my undeposited paychecks.
That's how it goes sometimes.
Do you think the outline's cool? Anything I missed?
No. It's funny to be like, so this is how you go away for a weekend with your partner.
Yeah, well, I think that we don't need to talk through all this stuff, but I think these are the factors that I found are like impact how much we enjoy it or not. And if you're not deliberate about some of these things, then you wind up going to a place that isn't that fun for the two of you, or you wind up booking a crappy place, or you wind up, not planning it enough so that it winds up being. I could see like if we hadn't planned some activities, like you do a really good job of researching things in advance and being like, oh, there's this cool thing we should go to. I never do that. And if I went on my own, I would probably wind up like sitting in my Airbnb or hotel room and not going out. And that's kind of
Then you'd eat at Subway and Starbucks.
totally. No, I would not do that, but I would probably yelp something
Yeah,
last
you
minute.
would.
No, I would yelp something last minute and go, but like you plan, like you made reservations in advance. And I think that's what I'm talking about when this planet step is that you booked those really nice restaurants and it was totally cool. And we never could have showed up and just done that. You just took a few minutes and did that. And so that's what I want to communicate with this is like, be fairly deliberate about this. Spend enough time that it's really worth the time and money you're spending on it.
Okay, well, let's launch in and you can be organized and I will make fun of you.
We plan to talk through the issues faced by startup founders and the people close to them.
Overused phrase, work-life balance.
It is an amazingly focusing time. This is what we do, aside from our families, this is our whole work life.
I am also known as Dr. Wine. This is a little bit non-traditional.
A little more zen in the startup life.
Those days were a mental struggle.
I have been stressed in the past, and I know that I will be in the future.
A founder and his or her significant other would both get value from the episode. This week, we're talking about how to get away with your spouse or your partner. And I think that probably the first topic of conversation is like why this is critically important. Especially for someone who is probably working a day job and launching a startup, perhaps nights and weekends, or maybe they're doing their startup full time and they're just thinking about it and stressed about it a lot. We talk about these retreats that you do once or twice a year, and those are on your own, and those can be relaxing, but often you're thinking a lot about work. But why is it so important that you make sure to get away every 3 or 6 months with your spouse or partner?
Are you asking me?
I am.
Okay. Well, I think this is an activity that really boils down to connection. And the busyness of all of our lives, whether you're a founder or you're married to someone who is a founder, makes it so that we get into the patterns and habits that make our lives work, like the dance of getting kids ready for school in the morning and cooking breakfast and getting everyone out on time. And that's sort of a beautiful way to live life together and to be partners and to share in the work of building a life. But for most of us, it is incredibly helpful to have some freedom away from those kinds of patterns, especially when it comes to connection in your romantic relationship. And being able to sleep in, being able to have different kinds of conversations, being able to have conversations that aren't distracted by notifications on your phone or interjections from your charming children or other kinds of things that derail the conversation, it is one thing that's really important about some extended time away. Another thing that's important is again having these moments that are just about the two of you. So sleeping in, not having anyone bother you, having extended time for conversations that you don't want to have in front of other people or in front of your kids. So talking about intimacy, talking about your sex life, talking about your dreams and your goals. These are conversations that need time to unfold, and they need space and ongoing listening that doesn't usually, at least doesn't work in our day-to-day, week-to-week life. And I think the third reason that I think this is really important is that most of us are in relationships because we are attracted to people that we really like. And re-energizing the sense of fun and playfulness and the kinds of qualities that drew you to that person in the first place, that just needs like some time and space to be attended to. So the business of life is one thing, and that's a good thing, but the fun of life is another thing. And I think that can get easily undermined when our lives are really full of to-dos and things that we're taking care of. So like number three is really just having fun.
Yeah. And I think of it like when I go on my retreats, the first half a day, maybe even the whole day, is spent unwinding and undoing life, right? Undoing all the stuff that life has caused in me, which is like thinking about work and having these notifications. And you just get into these ruts of thought. And the first half day or day is spent undoing that. And then the rest of the time I can actually engage and really be on my retreat and get some work done and get some really good. And when I say work, I mean like good, helpful stuff. And that's how I feel about this. When we go away for 2 or 3 days, it's like the first half of the day is you and I still talking about the same old stuff, probably talking about the kids and talking about what we did at work today and whatever. But then we move into these deeper conversations around topics that we don't get to talk about that often because we just don't have the time or the space in our everyday lives to do it. And I think that's been very impactful for both of us.
So you're disrupting the typical patterns and then reconnecting or connecting in a deeper, more intimate way.
That's right. I think that's a huge piece of it, is to have these conversations. I think the other thing that has been powerful is like the shared experience of it, right? It's like when we were dating years ago, one of the reasons that you really start liking / loving someone is that, like you said, you're into them, but then you have all these shared experiences that like bring you closer. And that's part of, I think, intimacy, is like having experiences you've shared with this person, like walking around San Francisco for 3 hours in the rain or whatever, or we're going to wait for an hour and a half at the brunch line, but we just jumped in an Uber and went to the other one and had this amazing brunch at a place that we'd never heard of. And I mean, that's just stuff that goes into the banks, you know, the memory banks and the connection bank. And I think that bucket needs to get refilled every so often. And that's what these getaways will also do for you. And I'm speaking about some specific instances because you and I just went away, it was a couple weekends ago, and went away to San Francisco for 2.5 days. And that's partially why we wanted to talk about this today, is just because it was so impactful and we are pretty deliberate about doing it. You know, you were making fun of me offline. I have an 8-point outline today.
I might put it online. That just might be the introduction.
Oh, the introduction. Yeah, that's fine. But the idea is that, yes, if you're really good at this already and you're already deliberate about this, then maybe these 8 points will seem a little basic. But I have found that like being deliberate about it and having kind of a little system for it is super helpful.
Whether we have articulated it or not, we typically do this about twice a year, usually for my birthday, maybe for your birthday. And then if one of those doesn't happen, usually there's some reason to go somewhere in the spring.
Right. And this one was, I was at a conference in San Francisco. And you said, why don't we just make it a weekend? And see, that's the kind of stuff that didn't occur to me. And that's where you have kind of the intuition to just do it in the spring and make it happen. And it was totally a good call. And that's what I think, you know, this first point of I have is decide on frequency, whether you're going to do it every quarter, every 6 months or whatever. I do think that once a year is probably not frequent enough if your lives really are chaotic. I think maybe if they're less chaotic, that of course annual could be fine, but it really does seem like the summer and the spring or the fall and the spring is what has worked out for us.
Yeah. So I have like a little ticker in my head that tells me when it's time, but you can put this on a calendar if you are less intuitive about those things.
Which is exactly what I would need. Yeah.
We'll have you put it on your calendar.
Yeah, totally. If you weren't initiating it, I would need to do that. But since you have that whole mental calendar, I just rely on that.
Nice. Way to slack, dude.
Yeah.
So we obviously had to find some place safe to stash our children. And we've done lots of different things over the years to find places for our kids. This time it worked out for them to go hang out with Rob's mom for a weekend. So obviously when you have family that's close or near the location that you're going, often we do take our trips to the Bay Area because Rob's family lives there. So that makes it easy for us to drop people off and then go on our way. But having the kids spend a weekend with a friend is certainly a great option, especially as kids get older. And there have been times when we've hired babysitters or used a service like Care.com or Top Nanny. Obviously, those are people that we've vet really well and have lots of recommendations. And we have other friends sort of check in on how the kids are doing and those kinds of things. So it can be done, and it certainly can be done for free or cheap. For a while, we had another couple friend who we would just sort of trade childcare back and forth. So one weekend we would go, and then the next weekend we would keep their kids for a night or two. And so it didn't cost anybody anything, but everybody got some time to be away together as a couple.
I think another thing I realized that I hadn't thought through until I started writing this outline was that it's fun to really vary the location of kind of this getaway. Not even just the actual location, but the type of location. Like getting away to the city, to San Francisco, was a lot of fun because we hadn't been to kind of a hustling, bustling city in a while. And we go to the beach frequently. But if you never go to the beach, then that's a great way. You really, the idea here is to mix it up and to get something that kind of puts you both out of the headspace of thinking about work, everyday life, and all that stuff. So just, you know, if you live near a beach, then go to a city. And if you live near a big city or in a big city, then go to the beach or the mountains or the desert. That's the idea, is to pick based on obviously time of year and the opposite of what you're used to, you know, and be deliberate about that. I think a trap I could fall into pretty easily is I tend to find a place that I like and would go there every time. But then after a while, that place itself becomes rote, you know, it becomes kind of ingrained in certain patterns and you're going to do the same things. And I think part of this is getting some new experiences and having new adventures together.
I love the way of thinking about it, the sense of what kind of adventures do we want to have right now? We have done lots of different things over the years. Sometimes we've just chosen like, hey, a restaurant that we read about that sounded amazing. And we've kind of organized a weekend around going to a restaurant or a winery. Or one year, I really wanted to go paddleboarding. So we found a situation where we could spend a chunk of the day and go paddleboarding. And we ended up seeing all of these whales. And it was a really incredible experience. So there's lots of ways to do this. And I think checking in with your partner about, hey, what kind of adventure are you wanting to have right now? Because there are some times when I'm just really ready for some good food and good culture and I want to be in a city, and other times when I want to run around in the forest and not have to put makeup on and just have a different kind of experience.
But no camping?
No, no camping.
You used to be a camper.
I used to be a backpacker, and yeah, then I had children. But I would go camping with you,
right,
if I didn't have to bring the kids.
You did one. Nice. Well done.
And you packed.
Right. That's
and you cooked.
Yeah.
We've been camping before, and you brought a can of baked beans.
That's awesome.
And that's it. Like,
we had
you didn't have a stove. You didn't have anything.
I just put it on the
fire.
And it
was like you read somewhere that you're supposed to have baked beans when you're camping, and that's all you brought.
It was really good. No, we had
so
to eat as well.
I'm going to stick with my policy of not going camping with you. I will starve.
That was in college, you realize, and I had like $1.99 with which to fund the entire camping trip.
You know, I would have gone with a loaf of bread and PB&J.
Yeah. Baked beans and some type of...
No, there was nothing. There was just baked beans.
It was good. We were full.
We should move on from this.
So the fifth step in my 8 steps of how to get away with your partner is to book lodging. And, you know, there's obviously the hotels.com, Expedia, and Kayak and such, but we've had such good luck with Airbnb. And I think we've used Hotel Tonight a couple times. That you have to be a bit more spontaneous. The Hotel Tonight now does up to a week in advance, but you get some really good deals on some sweet places that otherwise you may not be able to afford. But with Airbnb, I was in San Francisco at the conference, and I was at an Airbnb that was just basically a one-room studio that not in a great neighborhood or whatever. and it wasn't that great, but it was fine for me for the conference because I just need to get to and from it. But for you and I wanted to book something else. And so just 2-3 days in advance, hopped on Airbnb and booked this. It was like a 17th floor, awesome apartment with amazing views out two sides and like a one bedroom apartment with a full kitchen. And I just think it's so much more superior than the experience of a hotel. I think hotels offer certain amenities, but in this case, it just felt more like we were able to hang out and come and go as we please. And like being hanging out at the apartment wasn't such a drag. I think hanging out in a hotel room always feels like, well, I can watch TV or I can sit here. Whereas like we had a living room and we could go in and talk and eat and chat, that kind of stuff. And the cost was, I think it was actually less than most of the hotel rooms in the area.
Yeah, I think that's the thing, is to look at both options. I'm still a hotel girl. I don't mind hotels at all. But yeah, having the extra space and the view was definitely lovely in this Airbnb.
I think there's a certain level of planning, and you have this famous quote that structure brings freedom.
And I've not been made fun of at all for saying that.
Ever. No one has ever mocked you for that, for saying that. In all seriousness, you said that at like a gathering one time and people never let you live it down. But the idea here is that, like I said earlier, if I went to San Francisco, I'd probably not plan enough. And I think certain people maybe can plan too much, but there's this balance of like you sought out recommendations, if I recall, from folks that we know, and you got a couple restaurants and you called in advance, you made reservations so that we knew that we had these touch points at certain times. And then we were able to plan stuff around those, right? We're going to be on this side of the city in this area at this time. And so what else do we want to do? What interesting things are there to see there? You know, is there an awesome bookstore, or is there the orchestra or the opera or a cool site that we want, a museum or whatever that we want to see? And that's what I like, is to have at least some touch points. So you're not sitting around saying, oh, well, what do you want to do? Okay, so what should we do next? In my opinion, you know, it kind of is a drag on the trip if you're spending the whole time planning it while you're there. Like, do a little bit of work in advance, even if everything's not planned out, to have some key sites that you think you're gonna take on.
Yeah, especially if you're going to a city and you know, you need reservations and tickets and plans ahead of time. So yeah, I just checked with some friends and talked to my foodie people about restaurant recommendations, and we went from there. But we also had lots of open space in the day that was open for spontaneous activities. And I had wanted to ride bikes across the bridge and go into Marin, but it was raining, so we didn't do that. So we had to sort of adjust, and that worked great too.
Yeah, and you came up with the idea because it turns out we were walking distance from the San Francisco Opera and the Symphony House. And you said, let's just buy symphony tickets. Are they playing? And they were. And we almost did. You know, we were just going to walk two blocks and basically go up to the box office and buy symphony tickets on that spur of the moment. And as it turned out, it was like 7:20 or something, and we didn't feel like it. And we preferred to go out to eat instead. And that was okay. But I think there's a level of planning that it kind of makes the trip more fun. And then I think having enough spontaneity to be able to do stuff on the spur of the moment is also pretty helpful.
And the other thing that I did to plan was, there were a couple of specific things that I wanted to talk about. And we've talked about this before on the podcast, I think, but there are these 36 questions that make you fall in love is what they're billed as. And you can Google them. They're widely available on the internet. And I think a couple of people have built apps around them. So they may be app store options too. But anyway, they're just a list of questions that are designed to foster great conversations and intimate conversations. And Rob and I have been married for almost 16 years. And, you know, we've been in this relationship for a long time. But even so, going through a list of questions like that was really interesting. One of the questions that we had pretty deep conversation about was, the question is, describe your relationship with your mother. And obviously we know each other's stories, we know each other's families, we know each other's mothers, but we ended up talking a lot about how we would like to relate to our mothers moving forward and as they age and as life changes. And it ended up being a really important conversation, and one that was spontaneous, but was invited by this list of questions that we decided to go through. So I think that part of making this kind of a weekend really successful is really being intentional about choosing activities or topics or moments that will bring you closer together, that again are out of the norm of your day-to-day life, but get at some deeper parts of you.
Yeah, I agree. I was skeptical when you said, let's talk through these questions. I mean, I figured you had vetted them or whatever, but the name 36 Questions That Make You Fall in Love felt a little like a, I don't know, a teen magazine or something, but it was really cool. I really enjoyed it. And what I enjoyed is that like we'd hop in an Uber and then you'd be like, okay, so next question. And there was just always something interesting to talk about. And I was either able to hear you talk about something interesting, or I was able to kind of think and kind of be challenged on my own in a way of like, yeah, man, I haven't thought about that in a while, you know? And then we'd sit down to breakfast, and before they'd bring the menu, you'd, all right, question 21. And it was easy conversation starter, and we were able to rely on it. And frankly, it just got us thinking about ourselves and one another, and it just made the weekend feel really cool and intimate.
And kept us from drifting back into the typical conversations about what the kids are doing or what's going on in our professional lives. Not that those are bad conversations, but sometimes we need a break from them.
Yeah, that's a really good point. I hadn't thought of that, but that those are the defaults, right? Those are the ridges that you fall back into. And that's what this really kept us from doing. And these 36 questions lasted us a couple days, if I recall. Even we had a lot of time to chat, and yet we still, I mean, just as we walked through the city streets, we were just talking and discussing. And I think there's a lot of value to having something that keeps you from talking about the normal stuff that you would fall into.
And these are one example. There are other couples or intimacy enhancing activities or sets of questions that you can find online. And I think doing a little research too, again, prepare and think about how do I want to engage my partner during this time? And you don't have to follow anything rigidly, but, you know, going to a couple of different websites and getting some ideas about how you might change some of the patterns that you're in, and maybe having some new experiences, like taking a partner yoga class or something that helps you to interact with each other in a different way.
I actually really enjoyed the tour we went on of this old Victorian house, because we were able to kind of learn about the house and then a bunch about San Francisco history. And there were stories of the family that lived there. And then that wound up being kind of a conversation topic for the next, you know, hour as we talk through what it must have been like and things we didn't know, and, you know, doing kind of intellectually stimulating things like that. It was exciting to me just because I love to learn new things. And so that was fun. But then the fact that we were able to kind of enjoy it together and then discuss different angles around it and different topics was fun.
So Rob has a shirt. It's an old Oregon Trail shirt. Yes. Those of us who were children in the 80s remember old Oregon Trail on our school computers. And the shirt says you have died of dysentery. And it has like the image of the covered wagon.
Because that was a common way to die in Oregon Trail. You saw that error all the time.
Yeah. Okay. People know. I hate this shirt. I have always disliked this shirt. And maybe to be honest, I was thinking about it. I mean, I lived in Africa. Like my friends had dysentery. Like I know what dysentery is, and it is not shirt worthy. Like it is a hot mess. So I have this special loathing for this shirt in particular, but it always seems to crop up at the most inopportune times. So we're on this romantic weekend by ourselves, and he's wearing the shirt all day on Saturday. You know, we're eating in cafes, we're walking around, we're touring, we're having these intimate conversations, and I just keep looking at this stupid shirt that I hate. So gentlemen and ladies, if your partner has clothing that you loathe, hide it so that they don't wear it on your romantic weekend away.
Yeah, that was a bummer. I was at a conference the prior week, and I had just packed for the whole thing all at once. And by the time I got to Saturday, I had one shirt left, and that was it. And I probably should have worn it at the conference. So it was an unfortunate thing. If we had come straight from the house, I totally would have packed differently, because I know you don't like that shirt.
I think I might auction it for charity.
Yeah.
Do you think anyone at MicroConf would want your dysentery shirt?
I bet you'd get at least $5 for it.
That might be worth it to me.
For the dysentery relief fund?
As long as I don't have to look at it again, I might pay someone to take it.
There we go. That will be the auction, right? Who will take the shirt?
How much do I have to pay someone else to wear this shirt? So we've had some fun in this pretty lighthearted conversation about strategies for increasing connection and spending time away from normal life over a weekend. And hopefully it's been helpful. If nothing else, just encouraging you to do this kind of practice and figure out ways that you can create a little bit more space in your life to really have some deeper connection with your partner. And again, doesn't have to happen all the time. Doesn't have to be monthly. It doesn't have to be expensive. It can be something that is your shared way of having an adventure together and of creating new experiences and a shared sense of your life together that is a little bit different from the typical patterns that you live in day to day.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Zen Founder. Our theme song is A New Beginning by bensound.com, used under Creative Commons.